If I conform my way of thinking to what I hear on the news and what I see, then I am going to find myself lining up with the world, but watch this, separated from God.
What do you think of the most during your day? Are you setting your thoughts on faith or fear, blessing or lack? Join Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar on today's Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how your thoughts shape your life. Now let's join Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We're excited about today's broadcast. Your Word is alive. You're alive. Jesus is alive. We're alive. Praise God. And we thank you that things are right in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Creflo Dollar, God bless your heart, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming in here today. All right, let's get right in this thing. Let's go back over at the book of Galatians. We were talking about, when we closed yesterday, about the soul being the mind, the will, and the emotion.
Thinker, your chooser, your feeler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being the joint that connects the spirit and the flesh, or this not only just your physical body, flesh, but this natural world out here where all the problems are, man. Yeah. This is where the devil lives. But this joint's got to be strong, man. I can't do anything if I don't have it in my mind first. Or maybe I don't even know it exists. Mm-hmm. But once I know it, it's in my mind. Now I have to will or I won't do it. Mm-hmm. Then I have to be willing. I have to choose to. All of that's all part of the soul part of man. Mm-hmm. Now, and I think it's important here, Creflo, to understand this. Man is a spirit. We know that. He doesn't have a spirit. He is a spirit. Mm-hmm. He has a soul, mm-hmm. and he lives in a body. Mm-hmm. The soul is in the spirit. It's in there. You remember when Jesus talked about the rich man dying and going into the bosom of Abraham? You remember he said that Abraham said to the rich man, "Son, remember when you fared sumptuously away. Remember." Well, man, hey, this guy's memory is still intact. He ain't got any brain. His brain's in a hole in the ground up there somewhere. He's in hell. His spirit and his soul are intact. The only problem of it is once you lose this body and you get into hell, you lose control of your soul because the devil got control of it then and he ain't letting you out of here.
Yeah,
and you go into heaven, you still, your soul has been saved because your spirit's been reborn.
That's good.
And now Jesus owns your soul, and it's a free soul, praise God. Now, that system has to work not just after you go to heaven. It ought to be working now.
Yes, yes.
So that's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, we started out by reading that 16th verse in Galatians 5. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust or the pressures on the flesh." Now, the flesh lusts or pressures against the spirit. They've translated this by capitalizing the S on the word spirit, which is incorrect. Mm-hmm. There's not any capitalizations or punctuation marks in this original text. They were put in there by the translators. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make any sense that the Holy Ghost is putting pressure on my flesh, or I'm putting pressure on the Holy Spirit. No, it's talking about my reborn spirit. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul talked about it in Romans 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. So now listen to what he said, and we'll see the joint right here, Creflo. "For your flesh is is lusting or striving against your born-again spirit. And your born-again spirit is striving against your flesh. Your flesh trying to go one way, and your born-again spirit's trying to go after God. Now, what's in the middle of that?
Your mind.
Your mind, your will, and your emotions.
And that may be the place where all the pressure's coming. You know, my body will do what it's told to do, but the pressure that's coming to try to get my body to do that thing may be more on the joint than it is originally on the flesh.
That's where the torment is.
That's
where,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's fear affects the mind.
Right.
Faith will affect the mind.
Right.
But if fear is affecting it, the word says perfected love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. The torment is in the fear. And if fear is working, then the torment is there.
You remember that little cartoons where you used to have the little devil in one ear and the little angel in the other ear?
Yeah.
And that's a good picture of this battle here in verse 17. You know, no, you do this. No, you do this. It's where will your mind settle in on? Will you settle in on the Word of God? Will your mind set itself on God's Word? Or will it set itself in contradiction to God's Word? Because the way you choose, because up here you can choose. That's why this mind is the arena of faith. This is where the battleground is.
Yeah.
And the enemy knows that. He knows if he has a chance, if he can get you to make a choice in your mind, and then that now translates into your physical body, into this natural physical world.
And the rest will just go whichever way that, whatever direction that was, that's where the rest of it's going to go.
While all of the supply of the Spirit is doing everything it can to say, you gotta open up yourself. All of the things you're wanting to happen that are not happening because, you know, you can't get it from your spirit more than you're crippled because of the joint here that has set itself against the Word of God.
And then he comes along and he says, now, you just relax here, because, see, God didn't want you to have that in the first place. Now he's put it off on God.
Yeah.
When God already done his part, he's waiting on you to come on, get my thoughts, my words, come on.
Which is why it's so dangerous to allow your life to be governed by your feelings. Somebody says, I felt like I really got through in my prayer time. You didn't have to feel like you got through in your prayer time. You got through because what the Word said. You don't want to start governing the results of your prayer life based on how you feel. You may not felt all that good, but you're not basing it on that. You're basing it on what the Word says.
Did you ever notice if you give an invitation and you got two guys that come up to the altar, and one of them just squalling and bawling, and oh man, I'm telling you, and the tears are flowing, and he's, oh God, save my wicked heart, you know. And the other fellow just comes up there, and he's very quiet there for a few moments, and he prays. And now somebody come along and say, how'd the service go last night? Oh man, you ought to have been there. Then I'm telling you, that one old boy really got saved. He really got saved. Well, now, how come you say that? How come you ain't saying nothing about this other one? If you will watch them and track them, that quiet one over there that just prayed and accepted it and was determined and turned around and went back to his seat, you watch him. He'll turn out being the stronger of the two if they continue to follow that kind of track. One of them just prayed and squalled till he felt saved, but the other knew he's saved because he stood on God's Word.
We dealt with the same thing when we were dealing with the anointing, trying to show people, you know, the difference between genuine anointing versus a bunch of religious feelings. And somebody said, well, that's anointing. Well, how come? Because he fell out. Well, what was he like when he got up? I don't know, but he fell out. Well, you don't want to define the anointing by somebody falling out. You want to define it by the results that they get.
Sure.
And then God showed you that the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes, and it gave us something we could hold on to evaluate whether or not this thing was anointed or not. And we want to do the same thing here. We don't want our feelings to begin to govern our lives. We want the Word of God to become the final authority,
you know,
and the governor of our lives.
I've been flying airplanes for 51 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I learned, if I follow my feelings, I'll kill myself in this thing. Because you can, it doesn't take much to scramble the balance of your inner ear. And you feel like you're in a bank turning when all the time you upright. Mm-hmm. And when you straightened it up, now you're in a bank turning thinking you're going right. And the, one of the first things your instrument instructor will tell you is, man, don't you dare believe your feelings. You lock in on that panel and you believe what this thing says. I don't care how bad you feel in your head because your head will lie to you. Mm-hmm. Well, later on, I got into studying faith. I said, I already know how to do that, man. My flight instructor taught me about this. Uh-huh. And I thought, wow, yeah.
My issue was reversed. I got in, they put that hood over your head.
Yeah.
And that's all I could trust were the instruments. And then when he took it off, he said, now fly by the seat of your pants. I'm like, huh?
My britches don't know nothing about this.
Absolutely. So this sets the foundation for Romans chapter 12. And
that's your panel right there.
Yeah.
Let's go over here to Romans chapter 12.
Yeah.
We're going to make a turn here. Let's see which way we're supposed to go. Well, you know, I had a situation yesterday. A family that's very close to us, you know them well, and they're partners in the partner church to our church for years and years and years. They had a very serious, life-threatening thing that happened in the family. Mm-hmm. Well, she called yesterday. She said, I got a decision to make here, but I don't want to make it by myself. Mm-hmm. She said, this is so critical, and so I must make this decision according to God's Word. Mm. Now she said, now here's where I am. And she went through each thing that was facing her. Mm. And she said, now, this scripture has come up. Well, she quoted that scripture. Mm. Well, then together as we began to pray, other scriptures began to come up. Mm. Well, the doctors say this, and well, they say that, and then this and over here says that, and then somebody, but what does the Word say?
Yes, yes.
She'd already had miracle after miracle because the doctors told him several days ago he can't live till morning. Mm-hmm. And here he is over a week later and doing very well, but she's getting these miracles day by day by day. But she doesn't want to just follow somebody's thinking. Mm-hmm. She wants to follow this.
Yes. Yes, and this should govern our thinking.
That should govern it.
This should govern our thinking. Well, here he says in verse 1, and you can see the passion in the writers as he writes this. He says, I beseech you, I appeal to you. One translation says, I beg you.
I beg of you.
Yeah. That, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to get my joint in the place where it needs to be. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think, listen to this, soberly, sober-minded. A sober mind is a mind that's not intoxicated. It is a mind that lines up with God's Word. Now, when a man is thinking in contradiction to the Word of God, he's intoxicated. You've been intoxicated by that wrong teaching and that wrong thinking from the world, and you're not thinking sober. Now, if this person were to declare, well, there's nothing we can do about this, and I guess, you know, we're just going to have to go ahead and die, you're intoxicated.
You're drunk. Yeah.
Off the wrong stuff. Your sober mind always is a mind that's set in line with God's
word. A drunk will do things when he's drunk he never do when he's sober.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he says, don't be, the first key here is don't conform to this world.
Creflo, I believe the way to get out of this debt thing is if we can find somebody to loan us enough money.
Don't conform.
That's drunk, man. That's your drunk thinking. How you gonna get out of debt but borrowing more money? You can't. I don't care who you are, what business you're in, what government you are.
You're drunk.
You're drunk on wrong information, and you think, well, just keep doing this, and maybe it'll work out one of these days.
Mm-mm.
No, it won't.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And we've got to, we must not. The enemy has spent a lot of money in his attempts to try to get men to conform to that worldly way of thinking.
Well, that's a fact.
He spent money in the music. And if you'll look at the images of some of the teenagers today, you can go and find the songs and the programs that they have conformed to. If you listen to some of the folks who are talking today, you can go find the music and the shows and the things that it all came from. And I just want to sound an alarm to people. You're turning that television on, you're turning on on certain music, you're looking at a lot of stuff, and you're the computer, and you're becoming that. You're conforming yourself to that. And so now, you have no honor in the schools, you have no honor in the government, you have no honor where even civil authorities are concerned. There is none there because we have completely come away from this word. At least people used to act like they
some
were.
Respect.
And you don't even have that anymore. No. And so the issue here is the fact that if I conform my way of thinking to what I hear on the news and what I see, then I am going to find myself lining up with the world, but watch this, separated from God.
Yeah.
My wife said something that's...
He's the source of your increase, too. And you separate from him, you're in trouble.
He is the only source of my increase.
Yeah.
Because if anything good has ever happened to anybody, God has something to do with it. And the arrogance of men that think that it was their intelligence and their good idea that enabled this thing to happen. And then the world needs to be careful. Don't be duped by it. It seems like it's getting ready to turn around. You cannot trust yourself and stay away from the curse that's involved in you trusting the arm of the flesh. You can't do it. But when we begin to understand that we line ourselves up with the ways of the world, we're talking like them, we're acting like them, and you're now want to wonder, how come you having the same problems as a Christian that a non-Christian's having? Because you're thinking just like them.
Yeah.
You're thinking exactly
you think like
they're thinking.
Him, talk like him, act like him, you're going to get the same results.
You get what you get. So to the world, we say, be born again. But to the church, we say, renew your mind. And that's not a one-time event.
No, no.
We're talking about continuously improving on your game.
You're going to have to deal with this every day.
Every day. Every day.
It ain't going to go away.
Mm.
You have to deal with it every day. But you know what? God never required it to be tough and hard.
No, no.
Jesus said, come and learn this about me. My burden is light, and my yoke is easy. Mm-hmm. Now, you ask most Christians what it's like serving Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's hard and heavy.
Man, it shouldn't be like
that. And you ask a preacher, what's it like? Oh, it's hard and heavy. No, he said, no, see, you ain't learned nothing about it.
You.
Now, how you gonna do that? You're gonna have to renew your mind the way you think about him, about the Father, and about the Word, and about the world.
Well, doesn't the book of Jeremiah say something about, he said, don't even say it's a burden. He says, you keep saying it's a burden. Now, how come coming to church has to be a burden?
Huh.
How come praying? How come winning souls? Well, God has given me a burden for souls.
Oh, that bothers me, Creflo. That really bugs me. I have such a burden.
No.
Well, where'd you get it?
No, you're separating yourself from the presence of God. You're almost walking in spiritual death because you keep calling it a burden instead of serving God out of the affection of your heart. Our service to God should be out of joy and gratitude and honor. When we tithe out of joy, gratitude, honor, when we bring our first fruits out of joy, gratitude, honor, when we pray and spend time with God out of joy, gratitude, and honor, then God is set and ready to honor us because we didn't see it as a burden. We've got to start learning how to serve God with affection and gratitude.
Now you're right back to where you started.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you think
there you go.
It's a burden, you're going to conform to the burden of it. And God puts a strong anointing and calling to win souls yes. in this particular area or yes. place, like He's done us in the Caribbean and places. But it's not a burden.
What a joy.
But you have to renew your thinking about it first.
Yes.
Because ain't nothing going to happen until you
yes.
do.
Yes. Nothing is going to happen until you renew your mind to line up with what this word says.
Now, what I've been thinking is not right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to have to start thinking this. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. If I'm going to think this now, I got to put this in my mouth. Yeah. I can't think this and say that.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. Now you're tracking towards
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Or you're tracking deeper into the world.
But it's going to always start when a man judges how he thinks about a thing. Now, how am I thinking about this issue in my marriage? What am I thinking about this issue in my ministry? Because, words determine how you think, and what you think gonna determine how you feel. Somebody says, if I wanna feel better, I'm gonna have to think better. If I'm gonna think better, I'm gonna have to really evaluate the words I'm hearing and saying.
Get that butt out the way. I know the Bible say that, but. Here it comes. Here comes the world at you.
Yeah.
If you're going to say and think something other than the Word of God, mm-hmm. then it got to come from the world.
Yes. 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 And when you do that, then don't be surprised if you're getting what the world's getting.
Yeah. You make the government your source of supply, you're going to run short.
You can't do that.
And because the government has borrowed more money than it can pay in order to make you think it's your supply, and as it goes broker and broker, you just going to go right down the hole with it. Mm-hmm. And it ought not be that way, Creflo.
Absolutely.
Churches ought to be the most lavishly supplied
yes.
Organization in town. Or in the state, or in the nation. If they only change their way of thinking and let God be God.
Change your thinking, change your life.
Amen. Woo! Brother Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. Homecoming 2010, August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Steve and Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. The 2010 Word Explosion Update in Columbia, South Carolina is the 14th through 16th of October. Join Kenneth Copeland, Chaplain A.L. Downing, and Bill Winston at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center. Venezuela Victory Campaign will be held in Maracaibo, Venezuela, the 3rd and 4th of September. Come meet Kenneth Copeland at the Sports Center Pedro Elias Belisario Aponte. For more information, go to kcm.org. The average person can have up to 50,000 thoughts every day. These thoughts create patterns of thinking that build a blueprint and affect everything in life. So what have you been setting your mind on? Renew your mind to God's Word starting right now with Dr. Creflo Dollar's teaching series, How to Change Your Thinking. Transform your life by lining up your mind with God and His Word.
You have to change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you're going to have to change those words that you're exposing yourself to.
Exchange your thoughts for God's thoughts and promises. Eliminate destructive thought patterns and don't let a stronghold keep you from God's best. As you listen to this dynamic, powerful, and practical series, you'll notice a shift in your perspective on life. Things will begin to change. you'll see yourself like God sees you, blessed, confident, full of hope, and walking in faith and victory. Change your thinking and change your life. Order How to Change Your Thinking today at a special 10% saving for just $18. This powerful 4-CD set by Creflo Dollar will show you how changing your mind can change your life. For a discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call 800-600-7395 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Now, you know, the Bible doesn't tell you anything to do that God will not give you everything it takes to do it. It's His responsibility for the anointing, the power, and the wherewithal to do anything. And it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So you can prove the perfect will of God.
Absolutely.
In your life.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So now, but how do I do that? Well, that's when it comes down to How to Change Your Thinking by Creflo Dollar. Praise God. And I'm looking in, oh yeah. I got to get me one of these. I mean, it's just amazing the effect that the power and the Word of God has on your thinking, man. When you make your determination, that's what the Word said, and that's what we're going to do in this house. And then you take the tools. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're here on this broadcast today. So do whatever you need to do and get your hands on this. You need to be feeding your mind on the Word like this. You need to read at least one chapter every day from the Bible. Read it and say, Lord, I read this with the full intention to act on whatever I see. Amen. In this Word. Amen. It'll start opening up to just one chapter a day. Oh, man, praise God. Mm. Now, let me tell you this. We have prayer staff right here, Kenneth Copeland Ministry, that prays for you every day, prays for our partners every day of the world. And Gloria and I pray for you every day. Day, you'll never be without prayer again as long as this ministry is in operation. We have a prayer line you can call and with your prayer requests. And they're not somebody we hired off somewhere to do. No, they are anointed prayer ministers right here. We have offices around the world that there's somebody somewhere in this ministry praying for you right now. And this 24-hour-a-day prayer line 7 days a week. Praise God. Now, it is important in turmoil times like we're in right now that the people of God come together. Amen. It's our time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, reminding you that Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.